Today, we'd like to see the title of Jonah in the belly of the fish in Jonah chapters 1 to 4. To the souls on this online read through MP3 or YouTube channel on there, we'd like to suggest the three supposition questions. Number 1, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in Jonah chapter 3, 10, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? The book of Jonah is connected with the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel in the 8th century before Christ. In the 2 Kings chapter 14:25, Jonah is identified as Jonah, the son of Amittai, a prophet through whom the Lord declared that Israel's borders would be restored during Jehoram's reign. This places Jonah's ministry around 800 before Christ, 790 up to 770 before Christ, and confirms his recognized role as a prophet in Israel. He may also have been associated with the prophetic communities connected to the ministry of Elisha in the 2 Kings chapter verse 3. The other things that you may read them, so cross-references right here, the background, also chronological over the four prophets, right here, the fourth, the Jonah coming out, that is to whom, you know, Nineveh, you know, or Assyria prophecy. Chapter 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God's word came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and sit against it, for their wicked has come out before me." Verse 3, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, through the prophet, feared that God might show mercy to the Assyrians if they repented. Showing Israel's hatred toward Nineveh, he resisted God's compassion toward the Gentiles. Instead of going northeast to Nineveh, Jonah fled west toward Tarshish, believed to be in Spain, one of the farthest known places at that time. Jonah learned that resisting God's calling only brings painful consequences. It is far better to obey God from beginning. In down to Joppa, Jonah attempted to flee from God's presence and from his calling. Yet Scripture teaches that no one can escape from God's presence. Close reference there. Interestingly, a century later, God called the Apostle Peter in Joppa to bring the gospel to Gentiles, the same place from which Jonah tried to avoid ministering to Gentiles. Close reference there. Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. The Lord sent a great storm upon the sea, and the ship was in danger of breaking apart. Jonah's disobedience endangers not only himself, but also everyone around him. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. The sailors feared greatly, cried out to their own gods while throwing cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah slept below deck. His sleeping reveals spiritual insensitivity and a hardened conscience. Our feelings are not the standard obedience, but God's word is. So Jonah was not sensitive to the word of God. Verses 6 and 7, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast the lot, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast the lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. The captain urged Jonah to pray to God for mercy. The sailors cast the lot to discover who was responsible for the disaster. And by God's sovereign intervention, the lot fell upon Jonah. Verses 8-12, then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that the great tempest is because of me. Jonah confessed that he was a Hebrew who worshipped the Lord, the creator of heaven, sea, and land. Yet, through he claimed to fear God, he was actively disobeying him. True faith is demonstrated through obedience. Jonah eventually acknowledged that the storm had come because of his rebellion. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Verse 13, nevertheless the men rode hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. The sailors tried desperately to save Jonah rather than throw him into the sea. Ironically, these pagan sailors showed more compassion than Jonah, who did not want Nineveh to receive mercy. Believers should care deeply for the lost because God desires compassion for all people. 14-16. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took a vow. The sailors prayed to the Lord for forgiveness before casting Jonah into the sea. Immediately the storm ceased, and they feared the Lord greatly, offering sacrifice of vows to him. God even used Jonah's failure to lead others to reverence for true God. Verse 17. Now, The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah remained inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This miraculous event points prophetically to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 12:39-40. Since God is omnipotent, nothing is impossible for him. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from this fish belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of the shell I cried, and you heard my voice. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Though stubborn at first, suffering eventually humbled him. Even in the darkness situation, God hears the sincere prayer. Verse 2. Jonah described his suffering as though he had descended into the grave itself. Yet from the depths, he cried out to God, and the Lord heard him. No place is beyond God's reach or mercy. Everywhere we can pray. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Jonah recognized that God had allowed him to be cast into the sea, surrounded by waves and despair. He remembered truth from the Psalms. Although Jonah tried the Psalms in the Bible, Jonah tried to escape God's presence. Scripture already taught him that such escape was impossible because our God is omnipotent. Omnipresent God. Verse 4, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Though Jonah felt cast away from God's sight, he still looked toward God's holy temple in faith. Even when believers fail, God invites them to return to him in repentance. 5-7, the world surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep pools surrounded me. With the word wrapped around my head, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bar closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. God teaches important spiritual lessons through hardship. Obedience brings blessing, while rebellion makes life difficult. The way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13:15. God is a commander for our good and protection. Verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Jonah confessed that those who cling to worthless idols forsake God's mercy. It is a vanity to believe that human plans are better than God's will. Rejecting God's ultimate means rejecting one's own good. Verse 9, question 1, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah promised thanksgiving and renewed obedience, declaring, salvation is of the Lord. Deliverance comes only from God's grace and mercy, never from human effort. Verse 10, so the Lord spoke to a fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God often brings the people back to the place of failure and gives them another opportunity to obey him. Chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, God spoke to Jonah a second time. giving you another chance to fulfill His calling. God is gracious and often restores those who repent and return to Him. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Jonah was commanded to proclaim only the message God gave him. God's servants must faithfully declare God's truth without changing it because of fear, pressure, or popularity. Galatians chapter 1, 10, reference 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in the extent. Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, requiring about 3 days to travel through ancient histories. Describe it one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. 4-5, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day of work. Then he cried out and said, at 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Jonah proclaimed, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. Amazingly, the people believed God's warning and repented immediately. 6-9, then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published around Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cried mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? From the king of the common people, Nineveh humbled itself with fasting, sackcloth, and repentance. They turned away from violence and cried out to God for mercy. Scripture repeatedly promised forgiveness to those who genuinely repent. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. First John confess that He is faithful, just to forgive us. Delight in showing mercy to the repentant. Verse 10, question to you. Then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the just that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do. God saw sincerity of Nineveh's repentance and withheld the announced judgment. True repentance involves both inward change and outward turning from sin. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 to 8. That's a reference. The people of Nineveh responded to the one warning message and repented, while many Israelites repeatedly ignored God's prophets. Jesus later declared that the men of Nineveh would stand in judgment against those who refused to repent despite great revelation. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Jonah became angry because God spared Nineveh. He believed that such wicked people did not deserve mercy. Yet salvation by grace is exactly how God saves all sinners who come to Him in faith. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, our Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are gracious, merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah admits that he fled because he knew God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. Jonah understood God's character, but did not want the other to receive that mercy. Exodus chapter 4:6. That's a close reference. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah became discouraged from sparing them and emotionally overwhelmed, desiring to die. Again in verse 8, Elijah was exhausted and emotionally overwhelmed, desiring to die. Paul endured severe persecution and emotionally overwhelmed, desiring to die. Saul became disgraced and emotionally overwhelmed, desiring to die, and chose death. These examples show that even God's servants can struggle deeply. To overcome the desire to die, we must not rely on ourselves, but trust in God, who gives resurrection, joy, and peace. Yet God did not abandon Jonah. Human life and the soul are precious to God. Verse 4, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? God gently asked Jonah, do you do well to be angry? Rather than destroying Jonah for his heart, God patiently instructed him. Verse 5, so Jonah went out to the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah sat east of the city, waiting to see whether judgment might still fall out on Nineveh. Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a plan and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head, to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plan. God prepared a plan to provide Jonah shade and relief from the heat. Jonah rejoiced greatly over the comfort the plants provide. God was teaching Jonah through object lessons rather than harsh condemnation. 7-8, but as the morning dawned and next day, God prepared a worm. It so damaged the plants that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God then prepared a worm to destroy the plant and scorching east wind to discomfort Jonah. Jonah again became angry enough to wish for death. 9-10, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plan? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plan for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which come up in a night and perished in a night. God exposed Jonah's inconsistency. Jonah mourned over a plant that quickly withered away, yet he showed little compassion for the great city of Nineveh, where countless people were spiritually lost before God. In the same way, people are often more emotionally affected by the loss of a pet, a jewel, or a souvenir than by eternal condition of human soul. The last number, 11, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hands and their left, and much livestock? God reminded Jonah that Nineveh contained more than 120,000 people, including many little children who could not discern right from wrong. God's compassion extended even to the weak, helpless, and spiritually ignorant. Jesus likewise showed a special love toward the little children. Throughout Jonah, God consistently demonstrated mercy to the sailors, to Jonah, and to Nineveh. God desired the people everywhere to repent, trust Him, and receive salvation. The central lesson of Jonah is that resisting God only harms our service. Obedience to God leads to life, mercy, and blessing. We covered all the questions, so continue to keep on prayers, all missions. So last page, pray for Syria, Russia, and Ukraine. You know, each place, especially prayer cast, and keep on prayer. Let's just sing on brochure the last song, Maranatha song book, page 76, number 10. Okay, thank you.